TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Stop the extradition of Julian Assange, with human rights lawyer Jennifer Robinson and author and public intellectual Tariq Ali. On February 24, 2020, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's extradition hearing opened in a London court. The U.S. government had said he's guilty of hacking into and publishing U.S. military databases. The Trump administration now raised the stakes significantly. They want to put him on trial under the Espionage Act, threatening Assange with 175 years in prison. Jennifer Robinson is a member of Julian Assange's legal team. She spoke on February 4, 2020, at a public rally for Assange at the Royal National Hotel in London.
We are facing a situation where a journalist and an editor faces 175 years in prison for publishing truthful information, for publishing for the very publications for which he's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He's won the Sydney Peace Prize and the Walkley Award in Australia for the most outstanding contribution to journalism. That is how stark the situation is, and that is how stark the situation is that faces Julian Assange. I always think it's important to remember what these publications were and their significance, the publications for which he now sits in a high security prison over in Belmarsh. Collateral murder, evidence of a war crime, the killing of journalists in a conflict where they pose no risk. The Afghan war logs, the Iraq war logs, evidence of torture, the mistreatment of political detainees, the killing of civilians far beyond what the US government was reporting to its own citizens and to the world. Cablegate, the diplomatic cables that revealed the true nature of US imperialism, the fact that the United States was ordering the spying on UN diplomats, corruption, torture, human rights abuse, war crimes the world over. These are the publications for which he sits in prison. This is the very same material for which WikiLeaks and its media partners have been recognized the world over with journalism awards. This is the same material that has been cited in the European Court of Human Rights to hold European states accountable for their complicity in CIA renditions. This is the same material that was cited both before the UK Supreme Court in this country and the International Court of Justice in the Chagos Islands case, setting a precedent that WikiLeaks cables can be used as evidence in human rights cases around the world, and certainly in this country and in the Commonwealth. I think it's also important to remember that Julian sits in prison for the same publications which were published together with media partners around the world, Der Spiegel, The New York Times, The Guardian, Le Monde, El Pais. But so far, Julian is the only person that is facing prosecution for these publications. At least so far. Since 2010, we've been warning about what this precedent would mean. As the New York Times General Counsel has said, it is impossible with respect to these publications to distinguish between what WikiLeaks did and what the New York Times did. For that reason, we've been saying for years that the media needed to stand with WikiLeaks to defend against this precedent being set, because it would have a chilling impact on investigative journalism the world over. Now that we have the indictment from the United States, the very thing that we warned about since 2010, we can see that this indictment is an effort to criminalise journalists for stock standard communications with their sources, for receiving and publishing information in the public interest. This is, as the New York Times and the Washington Post recognised, the criminalisation of typical journalistic practices that have been used for decades in the public interest. We talk about what this case means, and I think we need to talk about what it means for both for journalists and editors around the world with respect to the United States and what it says to other countries. This precedent that the Trump administration is pursuing means that any journalist or any editor anywhere in the world who receives and publishes truthful information about the United States could be extradited and sought for prosecution in the United States. What does that say to China or to Russia or to Saudi Arabia? How would we react in the UK if a British journalist published secret information that they'd obtained about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi from Saudi Arabia and then was sought for prosecution and extradition to Saudi Arabia to face prison, let alone 175 years in prison for having published that information in the public interest? There would be outrage, and rightly so. Already we're seeing in Bolsonaro's Brazil, American investigative journalist Glenn Greenwald is now being prosecuted on precisely the same case theory that the United States is running in this case. That is, that journalists can be criminalized and accused of conspiracy for the alleged illegal acts of their sources in revealing information in breach of their own legal obligations. That is a dangerous, dangerous precedent. It may now be Julian, and it may now be Glenn Greenwald, but who will be next? I think it's important that Kristen referred to the semantics being used by the CIA. In 2017, it was Mike Pompeo who said, as director of the CIA, that WikiLeaks is a hostile non-state intelligence agency. This kind of semantics is the sort of thing we've seen from the US government in other contexts to justify previously unthinkable action. Whether we talk about torture and the phrase enhanced interrogation techniques, a term used to politically justify what is an unacceptable and illegal practice. Whether we talk about unlawful enemy combatants, the phraseology used in the context of Guantanamo to lock people up in circumstances that we previously could hardly have imagined, in the United States at least. That is the precedent that's being used here, that a publisher, a journalist, and a journalistic organization, an award-winning publishing organization, is being branded a hostile non-state intelligence agency. We have to be very wary of what that semantics means, and now we're seeing it, not just in bluster from the director of the CIA, but now in the arguments of the Department of Justice in arguing that a foreign national shouldn't benefit from First Amendment protections. The extradition hearing is going ahead on the 24th of February. There'll be a separate 3 more weeks of evidence in May. Of course, we're preparing for a case that the world's superpower has had 10 years to prepare for. In circumstances where our legal meetings have been spied upon, we now know that my meetings with Julian were recorded and that evidence was handed over to the United States in breach of legal privilege. We also have had difficulty arranging access to Julian in the prison. We've had difficulty with visits. We had to threaten litigation in order to be able to hand him documents. He still doesn't have the correct computer facilities in prison to be able to defend this case. But we will do the best we can. It's really important, I think, to... Julian has asked me, actually, I saw him in prison this morning, and he's asked me to pass on his thanks to all of you who continue to turn up to protest this situation and to provide support both to WikiLeaks and to the Courage Foundation, which is fundraising for his legal defence. One of the things that I've struggled with as someone who has been working on his legal team for the last decade, I walked him into the police station in December 2010. He has been under some form of restriction on his liberty since that time, whether it be under house arrest, within the embassy, and now in a high security prison. I have had to continually resist the normalization of this treatment of an editor and an award-winning editor, and it's important that we continue to do that. So thank you for coming, and thank you for organizing.
That was Jennifer Robinson, a member of Julian Assange's legal team. Tariq Ali is a well-known British author, filmmaker, historian, political activist, and editor. He came to support Julian Assange.
So the popular refrain these days is that Julian Assange isn't a journalist. The implication here is that were he a critical journalist, we might defend him. Well, the people who are saying this, we know who they are. And let me ask them a question. Did you defend the chief correspondent of Al Jazeera at the beginning of the Iraq war, who went to cover the war for Al Jazeera and was droned to death by the United States, especially after the head of station of Al Jazeera in Qatar, from where many of the planes were taking off, told the United States publicly and privately, these are our headquarters, these are our journalists who will be covering the war, please make sure you don't bomb them by mistake. The very first week of the war, their office was targeted and their chief correspondent was killed. He was a journalist. They have picked up journalists in Afghanistan who were not embedded journalists and expelled them. So we know what they do to journalists. In any case, it doesn't matter a damn whether Julian is officially a journalist or not. He has done more for investigative journalism over the last decades than anyone else apart from Snowden. Most of the liberal newspapers globally after the end of the Cold War had dismantled their investigative teams. Very few journalists employed as investigative journalists, their numbers really cut down. So what would they have done? Where did their biggest scoops come from? From WikiLeaks and from Snowden? And why did these people feel obliged to publish them? Because they knew they were true. They knew that they were the only papers who could do it, that it would increase circulation, it would get them more credibility. And I really say to you today that our campaign would be more successful if the editor of The Guardian and the editor of The New York Times were with Julian in prison. I'm not saying anyone should be in prison, but Julian and WikiLeaks made the information available. The fact that it went global and was published in all the principal liberal newspapers globally is fantastic. But why is only WikiLeaks and its founder being prosecuted? Because they can't dare to put editors in prison. They will if they have to. But they decided not to. They decided effectively to make WikiLeaks the target, and later, as the slander campaign got into motion, as many have said on from this platform today, they began to say it's not a journalistic organization, it's a spy, stateless spy, and a lot of rubbish which we shouldn't waste our time on. The question we have to ask is, will they succeed? They may succeed, unfortunately, in extraditing Julian, which is effectively a death sentence. No other way to look on it. The Europeans say we never allow people to be deported if they're facing a death sentence. But the American senators, numerous other state officials have made no secret he will never leave prison. So that is effectively a death sentence. He will be on death row if he is extradited, which is why the cravenness of the British government, the Home Secretary, is so appalling in this particular case. And why are they so determined to do it? They're determined to do it, as John McDonnell pointed out, is to prevent other people from doing the same thing in the future, but it never works. And I'll tell you why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because when people, honest, straightforward people, including those serving in the intelligence agencies, or in the armies actually fighting these imperial wars, or at the State Department, as in the case of the Pentagon Papers during the Vietnam War, see some horrors, they feel they cannot keep silent, and that you cannot stop by punishing other people. That is an outcome of what you are doing yourself. I mean, these people who go and serve in wars, even the ones who don't speak out, have seen hell of a lot. They have seen people being tortured. They may have participated in tortures. They are told to treat the people whose countries they are occupying, their cultures, their institutions, with complete and utter contempt. And sometimes a few people crack. They cannot tolerate it anymore. And when this happens, they start to leak this information, hoping it will be published. And in today's world, not 30 or 40 years ago, in today's world, they cannot be sure, and they shouldn't be sure, that it will be published by the media as it is today. You need alternative networks like WikiLeaks to make sure that the material is looked at, edited or not, and then distributed to whoever wants to publish it. And you know, the ironic thing is that quite a lot of the material I've read from WikiLeaks and the information they made available, the secret reports sent by US embassies to Washington, explaining what was going on in the country, the Americans should actually be grateful, because it shows that quite a lot of their diplomats are actually aware of what is really going on in the country. They just don't want to make it public, because in most of these countries they're supporting these governments, appalling governments. But privately, they send a report to the State Department or the intelligence agencies saying, actually, the guy we are supporting and his colleagues, they don't put it quite like that, are a bunch of rogues and crooks and murderers. But we are supporting them. But they have to know that these are the people they're supporting, so there are no illusions. So they should have been pleased that WikiLeaks have published this to show that they are well-informed, some of these diplomats. I mean, normally people think American diplomats are stupid, but actually, quite a few of them are not. Hence, as WikiLeaks has shown. So WikiLeaks should get a tiny award for boosting the popularity of a few US diplomats themselves. The thing which we also should say at this meeting is that WikiLeaks was given the information, as we know, by Chelsea Manning, who was then serving inside the United States Army. And Chelsea Manning is today being victimized for refusing to bear witness against Julian Assange. And this will carry on happening, that I predict. The journalists, the big newspapers might not publish them, but there will be people, as long as these wars go on, and as long as the United States thinks that the only way it can establish its rule, its hegemony on a global level, is by occupying countries, is by changing regimes, is by crushing the people. This will go on, people will reveal. There were leaks from the Vietnam War, huge leaks, published in the Pentagon Papers. It was an Australian journalist who first reported that germ warfare was being used by the United States in the Korean War. So these things come out and they won't stop. And the best way to stop them is by stopping to wage war. That's the important thing to understand. Because it was the Iraq war that produced WikiLeaks, the lies they told to go to war, the people they killed. Even Trump, in one of his more lucid tweets, said, I'm against this. We should think seriously of pulling our troops out of Afghanistan, because lots of our soldiers are being killed. And then he added, and we have killed millions of them. Absolutely accurate. And of course, liberal politicians poured scorn on him for coming out and saying these things. because they tend to mask things, so they're said in a nicer way. But he just said it, and it's absolutely true. Even the most conservative figures now show that 1.5 million have died in Iraq since the regime change in American occupation. We don't have the complete figures from Afghanistan, but they're in hundreds of thousands that have been killed in Afghanistan, together with rape and torture. That the wars in Iraq, the occupation of the Middle East, the war in Afghanistan has now gone on longer than the First and Second World Wars combined. That is the reality in which we live. And the reporting is very bad, it has to be said. These wars are badly reported. And there's a history there. They were very worried by the Vietnam War because television, radio, and the print media in the United States and here and elsewhere tended to send in fairly critical reports. I mean, I can still remember a CBS correspondent, Morley Safer, going with the troops to burn a Vietnamese village, showing the Marines throwing flamethrowers to women, children on fire coming out, and Morley Safer calmly said, and this is how we're fighting for freedom and democracy in Vietnam. Just like that. And they wanted to stop any critical coverage. So you had embedded journalists going in, you had very restrictive practices being used to prevent the truth from coming out, and it did. Chelsea Manning did it, WikiLeaks did it, others in the Arab media began to do it. And as Niels posed the question, what is being done about it? United Nations commissions, the whole General Assembly is one thing. But actually, the United Nations effectively is governed by the Security Council. So these commissions can say Palestinian human rights have been completely eroded, if not destroyed, that there's torture going on here, there, and everywhere, etc. It has no impact, really, on the powers that run the Security Council. I mean, unless they want to use it, which they haven't as yet. The United Nations essentially has become, on most important issues where very good decisions are taken, a talk shop. And the United States, as the sole imperial power in this world, has protection against any persecution or prosecution by any international body. Not that these bodies would dare do it. And this is the other thing which we have to challenge, which is the complete disregard of any international norms. It's one rule for your enemy and another rule for yourself. After all, we know what has been happening in Iraq. We know what's going on in Afghanistan. Not a single prosecution by the international courts set up by the West. Why? Why? We know the scale of the massacres that took place. We know what happened in Fallujah in Iraq, where they were shooting wounded Iraqi prisoners in the head, saying that's what you do to dying animals, according to a report in the New York Times. No prosecutions at all by any international body. Why? Because they are supposedly our wars, and our wars are good wars. And the killing the enemy is part of our patriotic duty. That's why. In any system which was genuinely impartial, a legal system globally, I mean, why wouldn't Bush, Cheney, and Tony Blair be facing an international court? Why wouldn't they? This is the context. This is the context in which one has to understand what is happening to WikiLeaks, to Julian Assange, and why they are so determined to crush dissent. It's not simply, as has been pointed out, the case of WikiLeaks. It's other journalists are under fire. Don't do it again, they say. Don't do it again. This is what happens. Snowden has to go and live in Putin's Russia for the rest of his life, and Julian Assange will make sure he dies in prison. So if you do it, just see what can happen to you. Not that it's only people like Snowden and Assange. As the United States president said, casually using gangster language not so long ago, we decided to take him out about 3 months ago, but then we waited, so we took him out now. Referring to a serving general in the army of a sovereign nation, Iran. Who will prosecute them? I mean, it's an act of state terrorism openly admitted. They say they have the right to do it. Why do they have the right to do it? We're the imperial power. And imperial powers can carry out atrocities, as the European empires showed over centuries. We owe Julian Assange our support and support to WikiLeaks to carry on doing it, publishing despite the fact that Julian is in prison. And we have to do everything we can in Parliament, outside Parliament, the UN, wherever, to make this case something. We might not win, but to make this case something that they won't forget, that there is a campaign, that people will fight against injustice and chicanery of this sort.
That was the renowned author and public intellectual Tariq Ali. He and Julian Assange's lawyer, Jennifer Robinson, spoke on February 4, 2020, at a public rally in London to stop the extradition of Julian Assange to the United States. Extradition hearings have begun on February 24, 2020. This rally and prior events have been recorded by Activism Munich, a nonprofit independent online media portal. Activism Munich are also engaged with the Pardon Edward Snowden campaign. You can find films and transcripts on their website, Activism Munich. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, TUCRadio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelöden. Thank you for listening.